Welcome to The Manly Catholic. In this podcast, we will inspire, challenge, and equip all men to become the men they were created to be. Join us as we journey together to become the best versions of ourselves and strive to change our communities one man at a time. Hey everyone, it's James here, and I just want to jump on real quick before we start this episode and say that the last section of Into the Breach by Bishop Olmsted is on fatherhood. Now, Father Dom and me are so excited and passionate about speaking to you about fatherhood that we actually went over an hour in our conversation. So I decided to split this episode up into two episodes. So you get one this week and one next week. I know your time is precious, so I hope you enjoy part one of our two-part series on fatherhood and how it literally can change history. Hello all, and welcome to another episode of The Manly Catholic. I am your host, James. With me, as always, is Father Dom.
James, good to be here.
Good to see you. How are you doing, Father Dom?
So far, so good.
All right. Just living the dream, as we always are. So this episode is part five, our last installment on our five-part series on Bishop Olmsted's Into the Breach. And I just want to remind all those listening, if you have not had a chance to look at Bishop Olmsted's Into the Breach, there'll be a link in the show notes to look at that. And also, the Knights of Columbus put on an awesome video series that I highly recommend. That'll also be in the show notes if you want to check that out. So today is, to be quite honest, the topic I'm most excited about, and I'll get into it, that in a little bit of why that is, but it's about fatherhood. And more specifically, Bishop Olmsted addresses the question, why is fatherhood fully understood essential for every man? Now, Father Dom, I don't know about you, but for me, this part of Into the Breach really hit home, and I'm excited to share this with you all because it really, honestly, it has changed my life. I was a reluctant father, and again, I'll get into this in a little bit later into the episode, but looking back how foolish I was, and now considering I am a father of almost two, we're anxiously awaiting the arrival of little Patrick.
Soon.
So by the time this podcast has been released, he'll be here in this world. So the big thing that Bishop Olmsted talked about is how essential fatherhood is. And he talks about the very first line is, fatherhood changes history.
Yeah, I saw that. That was the first thing that popped in my mind. That's a substantial statement.
Right off the bat, he kind of just says, he's throwing haymakers at you, and fatherhood changes history. But if you look at it, and he talks about, you know, the Gospels, and talks about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Judah. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Right.
And then he dives into the words of JP2, who just seems to keep popping up here and there. But I really want to read this quote just because it was really powerful for me, at least. So, and this is from JP2, by the way, and it says, in revealing and in reliving on earth the very fatherhood of God, a man is called upon to ensure the harmonious and united development of all the members of the family. He will perform this task by exercising generous responsibility for the life conceived under the heart of the mother by a more solicitous commitment to education, a task he shares with his wife, by work which is never a cause of division in the family, but promotes its unity and stability, and by means of the witness he gives of an adult Christian life, which effectively introduces the children into the living experience of Christ and the church.
Wow.
So no pressure, fathers out there, Father Dom and myself included.
But it's a challenge, right?
It is a challenge.
And we like, deep down, we like challenges.
We love challenges. We should love challenges because that's what helps us. Maybe we should rephrase that. We should love challenges because if we're not challenging ourselves daily, you talked about this in the last couple episodes, but if we aren't challenging ourselves, then how are we going to grow, really? And that's what this life is all about. And it's rising to that occasion. And then Bishop Olmsted talks about later on, he says, all men are called to fatherhood in some way. And then becoming mothers and fathers, I'm quoting Bishop Olmsted, becoming mothers and fathers really means to be fully realized because it is to become similar to God. This is not said in the newspapers. It does not appear, but it is the truth of love. Becoming dad and mom makes us more like God. You are called to remind everyone that all the baptized, even though in a different way, are called to be a father or mother.
Yeah, you know, there's something very interesting about those two quotes. The first one you quoted from St. Pope John Paul II, and then the other.
That's my boy.
Bishop Olmsted. Yeah, yeah, he is. He's in many ways, he's my boy too. JP2, in that quote you just mentioned, it talked about fatherhood as a way to ensure the harmonious and united development of all the family. Right. So in essence, JP2 is saying that fatherhood is there to create our harmonious family, a united family. You know, and then dovetail that into what Bishop Olmsted is talking about, is that in order for the fathers to really be fully realized, they need to become somewhat similar. Well, he's saying in many ways, because they need to become similar to God. And that truth is love. And becoming a dad and a mom really makes us more like God. And one of the things that Bishop Olmsted continues in that quote is he talks about to remind everyone about their baptism. And I think that's important for a father to call out. Don't you think? Like, I mean, if we're talking about something that's harmonious and something that's unitive in relation to fatherhood, I think men need to realize that the potential and the power of the Holy Spirit that they have in themselves, grounded in their baptism, is very important. You know, to really pray about that, to help the Holy Spirit unleash that potential that they have in their baptism, to continue to lead their family in development and harmonious unity. I think that's part of being a leader as a father. You need to tap into that. At least that's the kind of what I pulled from those two quotes that you mentioned, right? Because again, fatherhood changes history. and I think Catholic fathers or Christian fathers in general need to realize that they don't have anything to fear, right? Because they have that Holy Spirit in them through their baptism. That's very important. We overlook that baptism. That's how they change. That's how fathers have that potential to change history. I love that quote. Fatherhood changes history. I think that's another quote we need to put on there. That list for shirts, shirt quotes.
We have a lot of shirts coming your way in the future.
And you know, men tapping into the baptism can begin to realize and make actualized a holiness that looks like something that's tangible. The fatherhood is called to one of protection and one of unity and harmonious development, as JP2 said. So tap into that baptism, man. Ask the Holy Spirit to help unravel, you know, those graces. Baptism is the most powerful sacrament, right? That's what brings you into the church. So it brings you into the family of God. So
I think we often neglect the power of what the church offers us, even just simple prayers that, well, I'm a convert, but you know, cradle Catholics, you know, like the Hail Mary, Our Father, Glory Be, that you know, recite every day. If you just actually ponder the words of, you know, the traditional prayers, it is powerful. I mean, it's like talking about the promises at our baptism. A little bit later on down that same page, I mean, he talks about why fatherhood is so important because, again, this is from JP2, says this is truly the key for interpreting reality. Original sin, then, attempts to abolish fatherhood. And Father Dom always likes to go back to the garden. But, I mean, that's deep. And Satan's winning right now, to be frank. I mean, obviously, we know the ultimate victor, of course. But, I mean, if you look at fatherhood in our society, I mean, single motherhood numbers are on the rise. Divorce is on the rise, rampant. Or young people just decide, oh, I don't want to get married, or I don't want to have children. I mean, it's...
Yeah, or men out there fathering children and then leaving. Where's the responsibility in that? Where's the unity in that? Where's the harmony in that? And guys, okay, there's a lot of guys out there who have made mistakes in that arena. But who says you can't step it up and try and fix that as well too, right? Because there's always hope. There's always hope. Oh, absolutely. You know, we mess up all the time, but there's always hope. But we have to know that we as fathers kind of own up as well to our faults and failings.
Oh yeah.
Say, hey, this is where I need to better myself. This is where I've messed up. I'm sorry. I take responsibility for this.
Well, that's being a man, is taking responsibility, right? Mm-hmm. And that same paragraph, though, it talks about when the reason why original sin then attempts to abolish fatherhood is that, why do we call God our father? So if God is our father and we abolish fatherhood here on earth, how do you think that is going to affect our relationship with God? You know, especially children. I mean, my goodness, especially children. I mean, if they have a poor relationship with their dad, or the dad's absent, how much more difficult, not that it's impossible by any means, but how much more difficult is that going to be to even relate to priests?
Right. Yeah. They don't know what a good father is.
Yeah.
Either it's an earthly father or a priestly father. It's like, if all they see are just bad examples, how can they call God their good father?
Right. A loving father.
Loving father.
Exactly.
And that's what he is. And that's what he is. But our culture has become so toxic in many ways, especially to masculinity, that this area is definitely under attack.
Right.
Again, that's right. why we are doing what we're doing, because we just see something that's lacking, and we want to fill that to the best of our ability, even with our faults and failings.
Yeah, exactly.
As men, but we're striving, right? I mean, that's all we can do. Well, put forth the best effort.
I mean, give God, what was it? Two loaves and three fish, or I forget the numbers. But no, we give God a little bit, what we think is nothing, and look what he can do with it.
Right.
The sinners that we are.
Yeah, he loves turning garbage into gold.
Yeah. That's another t-shirt. I like that. Turning garbage into gold. But I want to backtrack a little bit back to that second quote I talked about, becoming mothers and fathers really means to be fully realized. And this actually really struck me, because I've actually recently been doing the Seven Sorrows of Mary.
Oh yeah, okay.
And I don't know why, but they really strike a chord with me specifically. And I think the reason why is, being a dad, and you go through each of the sorrows, and you can easily relate to our mother as a parent.
So correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
So the Seven Sorrows of Mary, right? First one, prophecy of Simeon.
Yes.
The flight into Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
The loss of the child Jesus in the Temple of Jerusalem.
Yes.
Mary's meeting Jesus on the Via Dolorosa. Mm-hmm. The crucifixion of Jesus on Mount Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is taken down from the cross. And the burial of Jesus by Joseph of Arimathea.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
And I recently just discovered that, probably like a couple months ago, but I've been trying to pray a little more.
Yeah, I've heard about it, but I've never dove into it.
It really strikes a chord, especially being, like I said, being a dad. I mean, I can easily relate to Mary, just seeing your son suffer like that. And I mean, it's drawn me a lot closer to Mary, just because I can relate to her as a parent in that anguish, and just that, I can't imagine what she went through during that time.
Oh yeah. Well, reflecting on all these, you know, it's inevitable. It will draw you into the heart of Mary.
Right. It's impossible not to.
Right. Because if you're contemplating and meditating on each of these seven sorrows and putting yourself in that moment, you're going to feel those emotions as well too.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, that was my personal kind of devotion that's helped me, and there's so many others that I know men and women can strive for, to get closer to either to Mary or to Saint Joseph, which we're going to be talking about at our next episode.
Yeah.
So stay tuned, gentlemen. But I would encourage you men out there to try to find some devotion, whether it's to Mary or Joseph or whatever your patron saint is, and find a way. I mean, there's thousands of prayers out there. Find what really strikes you and what's going to make you be drawn closer to the saints. Because I know for me, like I said, the Seven Sorrows of Mary, it's really helped me grow as a parent and then grow in my relationship to Mary. Because, and we talked about this, you know, a couple episodes ago, but We have the saints. Might as well use them.
Yeah, they're there for our resources. They're there for to help us.
Exactly.
Yeah, let's call upon them.
So I know I backtracked a little bit there, but I just want to give you guys kind of a personal anecdote of what has helped me draw closer to our beloved mother. But going back into the paragraph, he mentions a couple statistics that I just wanted to kind of bring up and that maybe we can discuss. These are from the CDC. This is from data from 2009, and it said 41% of children are born into unmarried homes in our day, an increase of 700% from 1950 when the out-of-wedlock birth rate was a mere 6%. I mean, you talk about problem right there.
What the heck happened?
Yeah. Sexual revolution, I think, would be a big part of that. It's just my personal opinion on that. But, I mean, if children are born out of wedlock, we know the mother is traditionally going to be one that's going to raise those children. Of course, there are some amazing single dads out there, but for the majority. And then it's always going back to, where's the dad? Where's the father? And no, paying child support is not good enough. Not nearly good enough. I mean, we can cite statistics too about children who grow up without fathers. They're more likely to, not graduate, to get into prison, get into trouble. Mm-hmm. I mean, the father really is the bedrock of the family. Without the father, you are fighting such an uphill battle.
Yeah, I heard someone talking about that, and when a young boy hits the age of 7, 8, 9, right, getting close to the age of reason, he begins to look past. He begins to look to the father to see how to begin to navigate the world that's outside the home. You know, and if there's a father that's not there, that's a huge gap. I mean, it's a huge problem. And I think that's why Bishop Olmsted says that fatherhood changes history, and fatherhood is essential to the flourishing of the world.
Right.
Because that's how important a father who is present is, right? A father who is absent it creates a dangerous situation.
Absolutely.
I've talked with married men. Well, I work all these hours, and I provide for the family, and I'm trying to tell them too is, okay, that's good, but when you're home, do you make yourself known? Are you available to your children who need you so much? You know, there's that balance that needs to happen.
If we are pouring ourselves so much into work that we can't come home and be there for our family, something's got to change. And it's not your family.
No.
Your priorities are totally out of whack.
Even if you have to live more simply as a family.
Yeah. And I get it. Some people are working three jobs just to make ends meet. I totally understand that. But if your job is so consuming you mentally, physically, spiritually, that you're just absent in your family, like I said, priorities need to be changed. And I know men too. It's so easy to get fully invested in your work. I mean, I've been there too. And you think to yourself, well, hey, I'm providing stability, finances, all these great things. But no, children don't care. They don't care.
Children want their daddy.
Children want their daddy. They don't care if you're living in a mansion or you're barely living in a house that is barely holding up to the environment. They don't care. And I think we don't realize how resilient children are if they have two parents there with them.
It's interesting that you talk about that. I'm reminded of when I was older and out of the house and trying to make my way in the world, before seminary. And I remember my mom and dad talking, all of us kids were home. We were reminiscing, how that happens when you're together as a family. And my mom and dad were talking about how when my father was helping start the family business, in the 80s, they had that. There was a recession, mm-hmm. and the family business took a hit, and we qualified for welfare. And my dad said, I'd rather dig graves than go on welfare. It was just what he said, right? Some people have to go on welfare, right? But this is just testament to his tenacity of, you know, I'm not going to take money from the government because I want to provide for my family. And I had no idea that for years we were living poorly. And we were. I mean, we lived on the farm, but, you know, and everything we grew and we raised was with the family, but we were poor. And as I look back on pictures, I was like, I'm wearing jeans that have patches on them and they're hand-me-down and they're either too big or too small. And, you know, it's like, what a ragamuffin. But we all had smiles on our faces. Our family was so full of love that I had no idea that we were poor.
Hmm.
But I remember my mom and dad talking about it and saying, yeah, it was a stressful time, but we did it, didn't we? We made it. And it was the love that they had for each other and the love that they had for the family. And you're right. I didn't know we were poor. I mean, we could have been living high on the hog or, you know, as low as can be. I wouldn't have cared because my mom and my dad had that family.
Oh, yeah.
The family unit. That my dad was living out those fatherhood responsibilities of creating the harmony and unity. Also with my mom as well, right? Talk about someone who's a foundation to my dad, my mother. But I mean, it's a unity. But talking about fatherhood in particular, it's like when he came home from work, you know, he'd work sometimes 80, 90 hours a week. But when he was home, he made his presence known, right? He would grab us, play with us, tickle us, go outside, throw the football, go outside, throw the baseball. Even though he was tired, he'd still have his work clothes on, his work boots on. And we're throwing the football and throwing the baseball. It's like, I didn't know he was tired. I didn't know we were poor. That was just a beautiful thing. Because that family unit is more important than money. That family unit is more important than anything.
Well, as it should be.
And there's the balance too. I mean, right? I mean, the financial responsibility. It's all a balance. But what we're saying here is this is how important fatherhood is.
Right.
It is. It's essential for the culture. It's essential for the world. And my clarion call to men is, guys, I don't think we really know how much good, beautiful strength and power that we have given to us through our masculinity by Jesus Christ to go and change the world. I really do firmly believe that men can change the world, that God is waiting for men to step up and lead and change this world. And it starts with fathers, plain and simple.
Yeah.
You know, it's just plain and simple. I think a lot of the unsung heroes are wonderful, strong fathers that just never got recognized, but kept the family together and raised beautiful children.
Right.
Right. They were there. They weren't absent. And they loved their children and they showed it and they grew strong boys into men that in turn carry on that type of fatherhood.
Fatherhood changes history.
Fatherhood changes history.
You know, I mean, I wrote that down in my notes, but now that we're talking about it, I mean, it's all coming back to that quote. I mean, it's
powerful.
It's very powerful.
I'm going to reflect on that even from the perspective of my priesthood.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, it's, going back to the example of your dad, I mean, that just speaks to, you know, the example, you know, the testament to them and what they decided was important. But again, it's just being present, and you don't have to be, you know, the most creative, athletic, awesome guy, or, you know, in your mind, what you think is, you know, the best dad. You don't have to be that. Just be there for your wife, for your kids, and the rest is going to take care of itself.
Yeah, it's bringing to mind that everybody else comes first and I'm last. That's hard. Right? God comes first. If you're married, God comes first, then your wife, and if you have kids, your kids, and then you. And as a priest, God comes first, my children, my families come second, and I'm third. And when I get a call, you know, early in the morning or late at night to anoint, and I'm tired, grumpy, I had a long day, I say to myself, I'm not doing this for me, I'm doing this for you, God, and that person needs help. And I'm going to be there. So I'm going to get off my butt and I'm going to go. And sometimes that's so hard, but that's that type of sacrifice that encompasses what it means to be a father. Is don't do what you want to do. Do what needs to get done.
Hmm.
do what needs to be done. And so when someone asks for confession and I'm sitting down and I think my day's over, it's like, I'm going to get up and I'm saying, okay, meet me in the confessional. That's a sacrament of healing. And that's what a father does. A father brings, he's present. That's what I'm getting at. He's present.
Right.
He sacrifices himself to be present. And man, that can be so hard.
It can be very hard. Very hard.
We're not doing that alone.
Oh gosh, no. Now I remember when our first son was born and he had really bad reflux. So he didn't sleep for like 6 months, more than like a couple hours. So Betsy and me, my wife and me, were pretty drained to say the least. But I remember in those nights where I would get up to go to him, and some nights there was just exactly what you're talking about. There was so much anger, and it was not towards him. It was just at the situation.
Yeah.
But I mean, that time, that was a lot of darkness that I had to fight, because you're half awake and your son is screaming for the 18th time that day, and you can't give him relief. You're just there to be with him. I mean, there was a lot of prayers that simply were, God, I need you or I'm going to lose it.
Yeah.
And it's doing what has to be done. It's doing what needs to be done and saying, God, I can't do this for him. Right. And even if it's just saying, I can't do this for that person right now, but I'm going to do it for you. I mean, that's in itself, that's a strength that I think a lot of men that I struggle with, I know frequently, but a lot of men out there, I think, need to be encouraged by just saying, hey, it's not all going to be roses. It's not going to be easy. Some days it's going to be super easy. Like, hey, I'm going to do this for this person. I feel great doing it. Other days it's going to be a grind and it's going to feel like you're, you know, nails on a chalkboard, mm-hmm. and you're just gutting it out.
Yeah.
And there's beautiful graces that comes from that too.
Absolutely. And that's the sacrifice of being a father as well. That sacrificial aspect of what is fatherhood. It's that being present and sacrifice. I think those are the two ingredients that can really encompass the statement of, you know, fatherhood changes the world. I think being present is probably, if I'm going to pull anything from what we're talking about fatherhood, I think being present, being there is the most important. It's not like you show up, have to save the day.
No.
But you're there. You're saying, I'm here to help if need be. I'm willing to help. I want to help. I'm here. And just because of the fact I'm here means I love you.
Right.
You know, I can work overtime. Maybe you have to work overtime sometimes.
Absolutely.
You have to. You know, but sometimes there comes a choice. Like, I don't need to work overtime. We're really in a good spot right now. But I'm going to say no to the overtime and I'm going to go play soccer with my boy. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I'm going to go, you know, take my daughter out, you know, daughter, daddy date or something.
Yeah.
And start being that father and being present. And here's something that I'm just looking at right now, that the exhortation that we're going through, it says, In relation to being present, the father being present, it is not hard to see how men's fears of fatherhood find a legion of support in today's culture of self, encouraging men to flee from this beautiful gift being fatherhood, in pursuit of their own desires. Then the child is forced to ask this question, where is my daddy? What then is the impact on a child's heart, on his or her understanding of the world, of love, and of the Heavenly Father, we just talked about earlier, when the answer to the question is, he left us, or I don't know, or from the sperm bank, and he left no contact address. It's interesting he put that last piece in there. Got to be present, guys. And the interesting thing about that is when we do that, there's a sense of joy. You know, like how I was talking about, you know, I think the day's done. I'm tired. I had a long day. I'm grumpy. I get the call for someone to come, anoint them, or confession, or they need to talk. I force myself to do it. But you know what? 100% of the time, I feel good after I do it. It's like a complete change of character, complete change of mindset, because I help someone. And the reason why I feel good is because we're innately programmed and wired to help other people. So in that moment of discernment of I'm angry and grumpy, I get the call, I don't want to go, but I force myself, which is a very masculine thing to do, especially when it's related to the good, and I go and I be there for someone who needs me. And then all of a sudden it's a 100%, it's like a 180 degree change. And I feel satisfied, fulfilled. Like I did something good. I think that's beautiful. But I think also that there's a spiritual discernment in that process as well, because Satan doesn't want you to do it. So naturally you're going to feel that. At least that's how I take it from that perspective.
No, absolutely.
And then afterwards you're filled with the graces of the Holy Spirit, and you feel good about that. You feel good about that. So there's always that discernment aspect as well. And understanding that there's people out there who need us. Mm. And so we have to be present for that and willing.
Yeah, I mean, that breaks my heart when he talks about, you know, the child is forced to ask the question, you know, where is my daddy? You know, and when the answer is, he left us, I don't know. I mean, that's a question no child should ever have to ask. I mean, granted, something's happened, but a father should never leave voluntarily.
Right.
Let's put it that way.
Right.
That is just, I don't know. I'm kind of lost for words just because I'm just picturing my own child. And if he had to ask that about me, I mean, that would just be, and I left voluntarily. I mean, I don't know if I would, you know, could live with that. I mean, that's right. Just, it's heartbreaking.
It is. Some of the heartbreaking things that I've heard is, yeah, father and so, yeah, he's a good, but he's never around.
Yeah.
Whenever I need him, he's not there. I've heard that many times. Okay, we're busy. We're very busy.
Oh, yes. That lovely excuse. And, I'm busy.
and so, yeah, we have to be wary of that as well. And say, okay, well, how busy am I?
Right. Yeah, the physical absence and then the checking out, a checked out dad.
You know, we're talking about the child's response to an absent father. Bishop Olmsted, right after talking about the child asking the question, where's my daddy when the dad's not around, quickly jumps into this. Catholic men also contribute far too regularly to the same scandal that devastates the heart of a child and makes too many women in our culture live as if they were widows. All right, so we're talking about being present to the children, right? But what did we say before? In the foundation of a man's life, there's God first, and then what? And then his wife. Men, be present to your wife. And I tell you one thing right now. Pray with your woman.
Absolutely.
Do it. You be the leader. You be the leader. Lead the prayer. I guarantee you, she'll have more love and respect. That's what I've been experiencing as a priest, as I've spoken with more women than men about this. There's a lot of women out there who are heart stricken because they want their husbands to lead the family in spiritual matters, and they're not, and they have to. And what I realize is men don't know how, and that's okay. I get it. All right. It's not like we're stupid and we're dumb and we know that we're supposed to do this and we don't. Because of toxic masculinity, the culture that we're in, men just don't know because they weren't raised that way, because mm-hmm. of what we've experienced with, you know, the past, whatever you want, 60, 70 years, what we've experienced since the garden, but even more so since contraception, since no-fault divorce, since the sexual revolution, the attack on marriage, the attack on family, abortion. I mean, everything's really happening quite fast right now when it comes to evil and sin and the culture of death. And men are at the center of it because Satan wants to destroy the men so that he can continue devastating us with the war that he's assaulted on us. So you got to be present to your wife. Pray with your wife. Lead that prayer. Be the spiritual leader of the home. And it's not that hard, guys. It's read scripture before you go to bed. Mm. Just say a quick prayer from the heart. Even as our Father or Hail Mary or Glory Be, hold your wife's hand before you go to bed. And say, honey, I want to start praying to God before we go to bed. And maybe when we wake up in the morning, can we start there? And next, to create a unity and a harmonious family, which Bishop Olmsted and JP2 said, that's important. That's how fathers change the world when they create unity and harmony, is pray the rosary as a family. If that's how you're going to change the world, men, one family at a time, is when men pray the rosary with their family in the evening before they go to bed. And that's 20 minutes, guys. Come on. I don't want to hear any excuses.
It's our greatest weapon.
I don't. That's one thing that really grinds my gears. I don't have time to pray. You don't have time to pray. Come to one of my Brazilian jiu-jitsu classes. You don't have time to pray.
You going
to
beat him up?
No. No, I won't. Actually, they'll probably beat me up. But I'm really serious about that, because this is what I've been seeing when I'm counseling other people. And it's mostly coming from the women. And guys, it's, all right, if you've fallen short, don't beat yourselves up. Just start with the basics, baby steps. Just pray with your wife. And then maybe a couple months in, do the rosary maybe a couple times a week. And then hopefully make the rosary of place and a time of unity and harmony and love. And do it every night. But men, you lead it. You lead the rosary. If you don't know how to pray the rosary, I don't want to hear that either. That's easy. I mean, you can go out and you can get your degree. You can go out and you work 80 hours a week, but you can't learn to pray the rosary?
I'll put a link in the show notes for you guys too. Now you really don't have an excuse.
Go out and buy a rosary. Email me. I'll mail you one. I'll bless it. I'll bless it in the old rite.
Now, because we decided to split this episode into two, I wanted to come on here and issue the James Challenge to make sure you all have something to work on this week. Now, I know at the end of the episode, we talked a lot about prayer and praying with your family, praying with your wife, and praying the rosary. For my challenge for you gentlemen is to start praying the rosary every single day. Our Lady of Fatima instructed us to do a rosary every day. Listen to our mother, pray the rosary. You will be astonished at what it will do for your prayer life. So again, the challenge this week, gentlemen, is to pray the rosary every single day and let the mercy of our Father dwell with you and your families. God bless you, and we will see you all next week. Thank you all so much for tuning in to another episode of The Manly Catholic. If you have not already done so, please hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcast to make sure you don't miss a single episode. It will also help grow the show and reach as many men as possible. We truly think this podcast can change families and help men to change the world. Thank you again so much for tuning in, and God bless you.